With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Last night, we had a pivotal Game 5 Celtics-Warriors NBA Finals. 84% of the time, the team that wins that game, if they are at home, they move on to win the series. Golden State comes out. Fast start. They have to battle from behind a little bit as Boston made a little run in the second half. But it was Golden State that came out on top. Now, one win away from an NBA championship. Joining us right now over the phone, we have James Holas. You know him on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin'. He's been joining us a second time during the NBA Finals. James, great to get you back on. I appreciate it.
I wish it was under better circumstances as a Celtics fan, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned you yesterday on the show. I said when James was here, he said Celtics in six. If Boston wins last night, they win this series in six. I don't think there was any doubt about it. And James, they had their chances in this game.
More than just the chances. You know, it's not a secret that Boston has performed poorly in third quarters against Golden State. This was the first game. They outscored Golden State by 11 in this game. To go from down 12 at the half to only be down one on a miracle three by Jordan Poole at the buzzer, like, that should have been a great feeling for Boston. I feel like they might have even got a little too confident and a little too comfortable. And then they came out in the fourth and they let the Warriors rip off 10 straight, and that was trouble. That's where I kind of ended. I feel like when Marcus Smart got that tech, that was kind of like the tipping point.
Yeah, you and I had a conversation about that just a moment ago before we hopped on air. You can see that kind of going one of two ways, right? Moving into game six. I think you and I are sharing a similar view on which way we think that situation will play out, but it could go one of two ways.
Yeah, so one of two ways. Either Boston can really kind of be humbled and embarrassed by the way they let the rope go on that game and come out next game with a steely resolve and like a quiet desperation, or it can keep going like the fourth quarter went, where Boston gets sped up. They get a little panicked, and you can feel them kind of tighten up. You can watch them tighten up. You can watch Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown overthink instead of just playing ball and, you know, trying to, I'm going to do this instead of just doing it. And the Warriors just have this confidence right now, and they squeeze the life out of Boston. So game six can either go out with a bang where the Warriors, you know, blow them out of the house, or Celtics can really grit their teeth and instead of worrying about the referees, actually worry about basketball and maybe pull it out.
In this series, I think right now, and you being a Celtics fan, you're a realistic Celtics fan, right? There's no homerism. I've never experienced that with you whenever we've talked Boston Celtic basketball. So I'm coming from you. I expect you to answer this a certain way. I'm going to throw it out there anyway. The Celtics should not be down 3-2 in this series. Do you agree with that?
I agree. There's been at least two games that they've fumbled the bag. The first game, they let go. Well, they won the first game. Game two, they could have left 2-0, but they really fumbled away that third quarter. And in game four, same thing. You're at home in Boston, and you let them dominate you in the third, and then you kind of lose your composure at the end of the game. And this game, they let the referees get in their head a little bit. I mean, refs, there were a couple of pretty bad calls. It happens. But instead of just bearing down and being better, they start yapping at the refs, and Marcus Smart, that terrible technical, and then he got baited by Jordan Poole, which that's just terrible reffing. The ref, that's a terrible call by the ref. He's sick. Smart waves his arm, misses Poole by a couple inches, and Poole throws his head back and he gets an offensive foul. That's just bad reffing. But you can't blame the refs. As a player in the finals, it's the finals. You got to be ready to play.
When I look at what Golden State and Boston, when I start looking at what has made this series so interesting to me, James, and you can play off of this, the Celtics continue to do a really good job when I'm watching Golden State off ball, right? This is defensively where the Celtics have just, they've soared in my opinion. And we saw a little bit of maybe a philosophy change offensively at the beginning of game five for Golden State. It wasn't just relying on the simple pick and roll with Steph Curry early on in the game, right? We're seeing Boston do some tremendous things defensively away from the ball. That, in my mind, that's probably why they should be up 3-2, just based off what they've done defensively.
For sure, because we know they called the the Warriors' offense, the blender, you know. Sure, it starts with Steph Curry's movement off the ball, but everybody off the ball. They do a lot of back screens, a lot of back cuts. They run a lot of splits, you know. And Boston has done a tremendous job of covering all that stuff. And with their switching and just being smart and communicating, they basically, I mean, the Warriors have not been dominant offensively this series at all. But the problem is the Celtics' offense has been just even worse. So, Boston's defense has been every bit as stout as it's been reported to be, but their offense just has been like, you know, it's been Stone Age. They just don't get it done. The turnovers are just murdering them. And then last night they missed 10 free throws. That you can't do that in the finals and expect to win a game. So,
yeah, when we talk about turnovers, if you're a Celtics fan, you're banging your head up against the wall, right? Because I can't think of a team this good that has the core of their core committing the amount of turnovers and mind-numbing turnovers at that, James. I mean, just carelessness with the basketball.
And that's where it comes back to, I think, panicking. And I feel like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are a little bit shell-shocked and a little bit overwhelmed by the moment because I feel like they're almost like on autopilot. Well, I'm going to drive. And then they realize they're driving the three defenders. And instead of dribbling it back out or instead of just planting on 2 feet and making a good pass, they get up in the air and they just fling the ball out to, you know, the opposite wing and it's picked off, it's going the other way. Or they drive into three guys and they try to draw a foul inexplicably and they throw their arms up and the ball goes out of bounds and it's the other way. The refs aren't giving that call. This is game, you know, this was game six. This is game five. They're not giving you that call. Like, just stop trying to get that call. Tatum looked great for a big part of this game. In that fourth quarter, he got timid. He's trying to 6-pound dribble Andrew Wiggins into the mid post, and then he's shooting a fadeaway. Like, that's not good offense. I call it the uncanny valley with the Celtics, right? Everyone knows what the uncanny valley is, where the closer you get to realism with graphics, the more grotesque the differences look. Boston is a really, really, really good team, but to be a great team and to be a champion, their warts are really, like, being exposed on the final stage. The turnovers, the poor decision-making, the lack of composure. It looks really bad when you're at this close to being a contender.
Again, James Holis, our guest right now, as we talk about the NBA Finals, Golden State taking a 3-2 lead. James, when we look at Steph Curry, he's been phenomenal, well on his way to a Finals MVP. We were talking about the idea, even if they lose this series, could you give it to Steph? He's been that dynamic. However, Andrew Wiggins has been spectacular. And last night, 26 points, 12 of 23, 13 rebounds. Gets all of his points in different ways as well. He's not just scoring in one particular aspect of the game. Wiggins has been phenomenal.
He has, and just for the pure story of it, I would love to see him win the MVP. That's because it would drive people crazy, because I believe the Steph Curry Finals MVP thing is thoroughly overblown. They screwed up the Iguodala one. Other than that, sure, Kevin Durant. If they turn around now and give it to Andrew Wiggins, I feel like it's the voters just outsmarting themselves. Curry has been by far the most important player on the court. Wiggins has space because Curry's drawing too much attention. Sure, Wiggins is doing great things individually, but that's fine. He took 23 shots to make 26 points isn't great. While Steph Curry, even though he shot poorly, was the best player on the floor. So I would love to see it as somebody who loves chaos. But no, Steph Curry is the Finals MVP right now.
Well, look, going into this series, if Golden State was to win, Steph could be absolutely middling. He could be the second or third best player on the floor, and due to the narrative that has been talked about time and time and time again, he was going to win Finals MVP. To me, I have such a hard time actually talking about awards that are media-voted awards. Because there is a bias there, right? There's a narrative, there's a story there, there's clicks. This is what the media is looking for. Didn't matter to me how Steph played in the series. He would have had to have been downright awful in order to not get consideration for the Finals MVP.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Like, but yeah, Wiggins has been fine. He's been really good. But he's also, you know, had a couple mediocre games. No matter what, when Curry's on the court, just the attention he draws, and this is saying to somebody who's like, I'm a bona fide Golden State hater. He's a different kind of superstar, and I feel like a lot of media members just maybe find ways to discredit him. So yeah, he's by far their best player, the most important player, most impactful player, whatever you want to call it.
With all that being said, if I'd have told you last night that Steph Curry was going to go 0-for-9 from deep, 7-of-22 from the field, there's no way you think Golden State wins this game, right?
For sure. Boston shot better from three. They outshot him from three. It came out the same thing, man. It sounds like a broken record. that sometimes the easiest analysis is the best analysis. Make your free throws. Don't turn the ball over. You win the ball game if you're the Celtics. They didn't do either. That's the most frustrating part of the Celtics fan is that they've been a good free throw shooting team all year. All year. Jayson Tatum's one of the best free throw shooters. You know, he's not Jordan Poole or Steph Curry, but, you know, 90%, whatever. He was atrocious last night. And then when you miss the ones that they miss in crunch time, when the game is still in the balance and you're still within reach, it's just soul-crushing. And you can see the life go out of that team as they're missing those free throws in the second half. So, it's a bummer as a Celtics fan. But when you lose to the team that just plays better, you can't blame anybody else. When you watch your team make, like, glaring mistakes, it sucks, but it's better than losing a heartbreaker.
I agree with that. And I also think you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, sometimes we get too wrapped up, X's and O's, looking at nuances of the game where it's very simplistic, right? Don't turn the ball over, hit your free throws. Last night, we take a look at Boston, 18 turnovers. You mentioned it, too much in the NBA finals. Shoot 67% from the foul line. On the flip side, we're talking Golden State. They had 6 turnovers. They shot 86% from the foul line. That's where this game was won and lost. Now, with that being said, that has to give Celtic fans some sort of hope that they can push this series to Game 7, because it's not as if they're being thoroughly outplayed on the floor at times. I mean, you're making key mistakes at key moments. It's not as if you're being blown out of the series.
Yeah, but at the other end of the spectrum, though, when your team keeps doing it over and over again, it's baked into their DNA, it seems like. It's hard to be optimistic that it won't happen next game. Especially when you saw the stats. I think there was, there were 13-2 and they had less than 15 turnovers or something like that. And, you know, now it's like 0-4, 0-5, and they have more. And so, if it was just a one-time thing, it's cool. But they repeatedly make the same mistakes. The chances of them learning and becoming a better team in the next 2 or 3 days seems slim to none. So maybe I'm being a bit of a pessimist, but that Boston team from game one that just shared the ball and seemed very confident and moved with a certain almost cockiness when they were playing. And now I feel like that's all dried up, and the moment and the spotlight have made them all blink a little bit, and now they're playing like the final spotlight is too much for them.
I think it goes back to the idea of the process, right? I think sometimes that gets overutilized in sports when we sit and we talk about it. There's a lot of, I don't even know what you would call it. There's a lot of like coach talk that we use, I think, too often in sports talk radio. But the process is a real thing over the course of a 7-game set in the NBA Finals. It's a real thing.
Absolutely. Where by this time, part of the series, it's no more X and O's decisions to make. Both teams know down to the play calls what's happening. There's no more X's and O's. Now this is about execution, and that's where the process comes in. You execute because you're confident in your process, and it becomes a habit. The Warriors, you can see, they're making passes. They're passing to an area, and a guy appears in that area because they're used to each other. They run their system. They trust their system. And even if 4 times a game, they get a wide open shot based off of that. While the Celtics are still like they're trying out stuff. I've never seen Tatum take some of the shots he took last night, right? And this is not the part of the game where you're trying new stuff. I've never seen Jaylen Brown do some of the things he's been doing as far as these mistakes. So the process isn't sound. It's not part of their makeup yet. So yeah, we're seeing. I think the Celtics do have the physical advantage. The Celtics might have the age advantage, the energy advantage. The Warriors' experience is shining through. I hate that term, championship DNA, but that goes with process. And the Warriors believe in their process to the point where they're 1 game away from another championship.
James Holis is his name. You can follow him on Twitter, @SnottyDrippin. He is part of the Dunktales pod as well. James, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Before I let you go, tell us more about the Dunktales pod. And again, Twitter, where you're very active.
I don't want to talk about the Dunktales pod because we lost. It's me and my buddy JP. We talk basketball. We were supposed to do one last night after the pod. He's under the weather, and I was just bummed out, so I didn't do it. Every Thursday, we try to drop a new podcast. You guys check us out. Dunk_Tales on Twitter, and I'm at Snotty Drippin, talk basketball, not as much as I used to. I think because I miss you on there. I don't see you enough on there, buddy. But, yeah, man, good time. Come holler at me.
Looking forward to it. James, always a pleasure. Thank you again.
You're the man, brother. Thanks.
James Holis again today. Got out the time to join us. More NBA basketball. Game 6, maybe the final game of the season. That's coming up on Thursday. We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.